No, Namud Beit, five lines from the bottom. That's where she got up to. Amar Rav Yehuda, Shachach, No, Namud Beit. So we're five lines behind. Shachach v'ichniso achlim l'tochpi below bracha. You forgot to make a bracha, and you wait. Misakon l'sadachad mevarach. So you put the food. It's happened. You know, you put the chocolate bar to the side of your mouth, and then you make a shachach, and then you continue eating. Mevarach. So now the Mishnah says, Tanya Chada, we learned one time in one bright, the bolam, you swallow the food without making a bracha. The Tanya Yirech Potam, and one you learn, you spit out the food. The Tanya Yirech Mesalkan, you put it at the side. So three different opinions. So you could say it's a machloka, but the Gemara never likes to do that. Gemara always likes to unmachloka things. So Gemara says, Lokasha. No problem. Hadatanya bolam. When do you swallow them? That's by liquids. You can't put, I guess they assumed it's harder to put the liquid by the side of the mouth, make a bracha. Swallow the liquid without a bracha. But hadatanya poltan, and that we learn you spit it out. Bimidi lo mai. Suddenly it's not disgusting to spit out. I would assume in today's society, you spit out anything. It's disgusting. But you understand, if the food is chewed up, it's much worse to throw it out than if you put in a candy. Right, and you put it candy, it's the same candy, just a little bit less, right? So, you know, it's something that will get ruined, won't get ruined, it's not sickening, ma'us, then you can spit it up. So you ate half the chicken piece, it's all yucky, so you put it at the side of the mouth, and then you make the bracha. Okay, so why don't we something that's not disgusting also put it to one side? Why do you have to throw it out? In other words, if you're allowed to put it to the side, so put everything outside. Obviously, to throw out anything, even if it's not as disgusting, still not nice. It's still not etiquette. Put it to the side. Why not? So this is an important idea. I mean, this is why you're not supposed to chew gum when you dappen or make a bracha based on this pasuk. Okay, so it says, Shenemar yimalei pi tehilatecha. Your mouth should be full of praises of God. You're not supposed to have anything in your mouth when you make a bracha.
Why do these guys always take poetic language and take it as if it's meant to be literal? So, David.
Of course, that's what a drusha means, right? No, you know, but it's the other way around often. The rabbis have an idea and they look for a verse that hints at it. In other words, the rabbis understood it's not nice. You want to praise God, don't chew gum. No, I mean, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Pasuk said, Yemale Hashem, Tilatecha. You're right. You're saying the pshat is some poetic idea. Our mouth is full of praise. Doesn't mean it literally, but it can also mean it in a sense literally. Yeah, right. That's a excellent question. In other words, what's the relationship between a drasha and then the limud and what came first? And the truth of the matter is, this is often not easy to know. I just saw today that they were advertising Rav Bazak from Yeshivat Haratzion, just came out with a book. I think it came out a while ago, but I saw somebody was talking about it. I forget what it's called, but it's all about these issues, how Torah Shabbat Peh works, and what came first, the halacha or the drasha? In other words, without the pasuk, the rabbis wouldn't have said this, or no, the rabbis are saying that, and they're tying it to a pasuk. We know. Right. But if you tie it to a pasuk, it gives it more credibility. Yeah, that maybe not to you, maybe, but for sure, to the world of the Gemara, you say this is what the pasuk means. Now, I don't think they meant to fool the people. I don't know, but I understand that it's an illusion. In poetry, you can have many levels of interpretation. So Yemalei Hashem Tilatecha can really mean don't put gum in your mouth. It's not just gum, but you should not have anything in your mouth when you make a bracha. But the relationship between, you know, Gzeirot and the drush and the pasuk is an interesting one, and sometimes it is only an asmachta, which means it's not really what the pasuk means. Which means it's only a rabbinic law, and sometimes it's mamish what the pasuk means. Okay, ba'mina Rav Chista. They asked Rav Chista, Misha chavashata v'lo beirach. A person ate and he drank. Now he doesn't remember in the middle while he's chewing it. He finished eating. V'lo beirach. He didn't bench. He didn't say bracha rishona. We'll get the next mishnah if he didn't bench. Mao sheyachzer v'yivarach. So should he go and eat again? Should he make a bracha? So Amar Lahu, so you can interpret what, is he going to eat again or not? So let's assume, I guess that's where I'm just assuming, otherwise he's going to be eating again. Amar Lahu, talking about poetic language. Person who eats garlic and he has a bad breath, should he eat more garlic so he'd have more bad breath? In other words, you did one thing wrong. Why compound it by doing something wrong? So you could interpret it two ways. You could interpret it, he finished eating, so to make another bracha is a bracha levatala. In other words, I didn't make a bracha on my cake. I finished the cake. So now I ate garlic without, you know, and my mouth is bad breath. So now I want to rectify. I'm being religious. I'm going to make a bracha, of course. I said, no, you just compounded the error. I understand you want to make a bracha, but you compounded the error because you're not eating any food. Food is gone, and now you're making a bracha levatala. That's one way you can understand it. That's the simple way. That's, I think, how I would understand it. But I don't think that's the way it's generally understood. Or you can say, I'm about to eat. In other words, I started eating cake. I didn't make a bracha. If I lifted up my lulav, it's too late, right? I can't go back and make a bracha on the lulav again. So maybe it's the same thing. I can't go back and make a bracha on the food. That's the question. And to that, where it says, no, just because you ate half a piece of cake without a bracha, so too, can't eat the second piece. I think both are true. In other words, both true. Amaravina hilkach. So that's, you can see from the continuation, Gemara understood it. Afilu gamar sudato yachzor v'yivarach. So obviously there, if you're in the middle, in other words, even if he finished eating, maybe you should go back and bench. So that Gemara says, Ditanya.
I go back and make,
thank you, a bracha rishona. In other words, the interpretation is the second way. The Gemara is saying, so maybe even after you ate, you could do it, and that the Gemara is saying, no, that you can't do. Why might you be able to do that? Titanya taval bala. So when a person goes to mikvah, he makes the bracha after he dunks, or a woman, whatever. Taval bala, omer ba'aliyato, baruch asher kishenem mitzvotav v'tzivenu al hatzvila. So you see, you can make the bracha even after the act. So why not make the bracha of eating after you ate? We're not talking about brachat amazon. We're talking about the bracha rishona. Velohi, no comparison. Hatam da mikara gavra lo chasya. The person wasn't fit to make a bracha. So why weren't they fit? So Rashi says they were a balkari. Back to our balkari from many pages ago. And a balkari cannot learn Torah, right? Remember the original Takanah, a balkari can't make bracha, can't daven. So until he goes to mikvah, he can't make a bracha. So that's why he has to make bracha afterwards. He has no choice. But when you ate the food, you blew it. You're supposed to make the bracha beforehand. You didn't make the bracha, you can't make the bracha afterwards. Of course, the easy solution is just eat something else. But maybe they didn't have food. That was an option. We're talking in theory. Here, before he ate, he should have eaten. Now, it was missed. You missed your opportunity. You missed your opportunity. We have that a lot in halacha. You have a chance, you can't do it later. You didn't say Shema at the right time. Okay, yeah, that's, can't make it up. Only Shmon Esrei, we learned. You can make up Shmon Esrei once in the next tefillah, but you can't make up Shema. I don't say if I miss Shema at night, I can say Shema twice in the morning. I can daven Shmon Esrei twice in the morning. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, asparagus. What's asparagus?
According to this, it's...
What is it? We know what it is.
You do? I don't... Well, maybe we do. Right, but that's not the way with how... it's a different type of asparagus. Right, sort of. Right. I would have said like you, it's asparagus, you know, that green vegetable that I don't like. Okay, so and we have it sometimes in the salad, we put it in. Uh-huh. Right? But asparagus, I'm looking at Rashi. Kos shayu shotim b'chol boker aliva rekana l'refua. They used to have a drink in the water for health reasons. Think of it like a cup of coffee in the morning, but it wasn't to wake you up. But that's how Rashi explains it. Aliba rekana, your stomach is empty, lirafua, in order to feel better. So asparagus yafel alev, it's good for the heart. That's like they can ask for a day. A little bit of liquor is good for the heart, they say. Betov leinayim, it's good for the eyes. V'chol shechein, and how much more so libnei me'ayim, good for the intestines. Haragil, if you have it every day, Yapa l'chol gufo. We're back to, you know, it's good for the whole body. Hamishtaker heimenu. Right, so it's what? It's based on science. It's halacha. Y'all listen, when the Gemara gives these nutritional advice, right? Hamishtaker heimenu. What's it? Now, they don't quote any psukim, right? This is what they thought. Probably based on what was commonly understood. So the rabbis are saying, want to be healthy, this is a good drink to have. Hamishtaker hamenu, because we'll see it's made from alcohol. If you get drunk from it, kasha l'chol gufo, then it's bad for you. It's like having the little schnapps in shul every morning, right? That's what they have. In shuls, they have a little bit l'chaim every morning. I mean, some people. So if you have a little bit, it's good for you. If you have too much, it's bad for you. Mi diktani yafel alev. Since we learned it's good for the heart, michlal de bechamraskin. It must be we're dealing with wine. So they had an assumption that wine was good for the heart, which is what the Gemara is going to say. This drink is good for the heart. It must be made from wine, not from alcohol, other alcohol. Uchtani v'choshechen lifnei me'ayim. And we learned it's good for the heart, even better for the intestines. But Tanya, and it's interesting, Rashi doesn't say one word what this means. I don't know why. I don't know how Rashi expected us to know. So I know in the Korin, the art school, I don't know the art school, I'm sure they explained. But Tanya, lila'at yafel. Lila'at is, I believe, Rashi Tevot, correct me if I'm wrong, lev, einayim, and tchol. Your heart, your eyes, and your spleen. Right? Is that what it says in the Korin? I'm baffled why Rashi doesn't have a comment. Because how it's did he assume everybody knew this? I don't know. Yafel l'ramat. What's ramat? Rosh is the resh rosh.
Rosh.
Mem is me'ayim. This is our question. Me'ayim, the intestines. It's bad. We just said it was good, and now we're saying it's bad. Top is tachtonim, right? Tachtoniot, right?
Hemorrhoids.
Right. It's bad. Kasha. So here, on the one hand, we said it's good for the intestines, bad for the intestines. Kitanya, he been.
This is wine.
Right, that's what the Gemara said. It has to be, right, this asparagus is some type of wine base. Right, that's what the Gemara is saying. It must be wine because it's good for the heart. And the Gemara says it's also good for the intestine. But how can you say it's good for the intestine? We learned we have a brayta. In other words, the rabbi said, l'ramat, the mem being me'ayim, it's no good. So here you're saying it is good. Gemara says there are two versions of the drink. Ki tanya hi bimiyusham. Well, not two versions of drink. How ancient? How old is the wine? Everybody knows old wine is better than the new wine, right? Kiditznan. Now we bring konim yain sheni toim. A guy. This is a masech in the Darim. So in masech, you know, people used to do. You know, people talk in different generations in different ways. So you have a whole masechet. People would get angry. So what did people do in the time of the Talmud when they got angry? They swear off, I'm never going to get any benefit from you. That was a very common thing. I'm not going to get benefit from you. You can't get benefit from me. So the next question, can I come to shul if you're the chasam? I'm not allowed, I'm mad at you. So I'm not going to, you know, people even now they say that. I'm not going to get any benefit from you. So can I walk into shul if you're the chasam? You're the Baal Tokea. Can I benefit? Can I listen to you blow shofar? What do you think?
Do they have Kabbalah to benefit you?
So that's where, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the Gemara invokes the principle, mitzvot lav l'ha'anot niknu. Mitzvot are not for benefit. Benefit is material, is money, is food. A mitzvah is not benefit. It's spiritual benefit, but that doesn't count. Mitzvot lav l'ha'anot niknu. But anyways, so the other thing people do, and maybe not because they're mad at people, for all kinds of reasons, they would take, I'm never going to eat chocolate. Or a difference, you know what the difference between a neder and a shvuah is? Anybody know? We have, it's two masechta neshas, nedarim and shvuahs. A shvuah is much worse. To violate a shvuah, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Lo tisat shem v'shem mekecha l'shav. Right, but what's the halachic difference? Anybody know? So a neder, which is less severe if you violate it, although kol nidrei v'asarei u'shvuye, right? A neder is if I walk into your house, so chocolate is forbidden to me. If I do this, then I won't have any. I won't eat any fruit for the next month. You forbid the object onto you, and usually in some condition. If this, in other words, I promise, if I don't give you money next week, I'll never eat chocolate again in my life. So in other words, it's sort of an incentive to do something, but I didn't say I won't eat chocolate. It's sort of connected. I ask the arts if I don't do something. A shrua is what we call, I swear I won't do something, right? So a shrua is, and that's considered a much more serious violation of halakha. Interesting enough, a shrua normally was made with the name of God, right? You invoke the name of God when you made a shrua. Anyways, konim yain. So a guy says, this wine is forbidden to me. Makes a shayayin kashelib nemeyayin, because wine is no good for the intestines. So they said, buddy, what are you talking about? Amrulov, alo miyushan yapta. The old wine is good. Old wine is good for you. Who vishatak, and he said, oh, he didn't say anything. That's interesting. He didn't know. Asur bechadashu mutar biyushan. Then he's forbidden new wine. How do you define new or old wine? But whatever. And he's allowed to eat old wine because he made it conditional. I won't have wine because wine is bad for me. They said, no, wine is good. Oh, wine is good for you. It's like a nether toad. It's like, but you don't even have to go to the rabbi. You know, like you want to be mutter and nether. So this is even, you don't even have to do that because the whole nether was made by a mistake. But the new wine, he can't have. So you see, if you have old wine, this drink is good for the Bnei Me'ayim. If you have new wine, this drink is no good. Okay, it's ambassadors, whatever. That's what the Gemara says. Yain Miyushan, so Rashi says 3 years, as Rashi says. Yain Miyushan means 3 years old. Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemar Asparagus. Six things we learned in asparagus. Ein Shotimoto Ela Keshu Chai. You have to drink it raw, which means wine. It's wine. It means undiluted. You know that in the time of the Gemara, their wine was very, very heavily concentrated. Like, you know, our wine is mainly water, I assume, right? I don't know what percentage is water, but a high percentage is water. There, you want it in English here. And, so you had to drink it undiluted. Umale, it's got to be full, which is like already in a Kiddush cup. Umekablo biyamin, you have to take the cup in your right hand. Right is always a stronger hand. That's always a question for someone who's a lefty. I had a roommate who was a lefty. So there's a shaila, what do you do with lulav and etrog? Do you take the lulav? In words, we take the lulav in the right hand because there are three of the four are in, and right is more powerful. So three quarters of the mitzvah is in the right hand. So we take it in the right hand. But what if you're a lefty? So that's an interesting question. What do you do? I always think about right, because 95% of people are ready. So you have to pick up the cup in your right hand. The shoto is small. But then you transfer it to your left hand and you drink it. Vein emashichin acharav. I don't know for how long is this. You can't talk while you're drinking it. Ve'ein mafsikim bo, you don't stop. You have to drink it in one gulp. That's where she says, shoto v'varachat. Whatever, how many ounces it is, whatever, you drink it in one shot. Ve'ein machzirim oto ela lemi shenatlo lo. I don't know. You have to give it back to the person who gave it to you. Like, you know, the nurse and the doctor's office, they got to hand it back to the nurse. This is some medication people used to take every morning. Ve'rak acharav. So I think that means you spit afterwards. Yeah. I don't know why exactly, but you spit after you drink this. Ve'ein somchin oto ela bimino. And you can only smoke, what does he say? Somchin, does he say to lean it? You can only put it back on something that, on it. In other words, you can only put it back with other of this drink. You cannot put it into, put it on bread or something, which we're going to see in a second. But Tanya, ein sochim el toel bepat, you should, or eat it with bread. So lo kasha had the bechamra had b'deshikra. So where it says there were two versions of this asparagus drink, one with wine and one with other forms of alcohol. Let's say beer. So the Gemara doesn't say which you should. It's good to. So Rashi says b'dechamra you can have it with bread, b'deshikra you can't drink it with any other food. That's really what I mean. We know today, their medicine, they tell you either you take it on an empty stomach or you take it on a full stomach. So that's what Gemara is saying, only eat it with these things. Okay. Tanya Chada, back to this Rosh Yeshiva that is left unexplained, right? I mean, by the Rabbeinu Nissen Gan, it says what it is here too. Tanechad lelaat yafeh. So one time we learned that lat leiv einayim and tchol, it's good. Leramat, for the rosh, meyayim, and tachtonim, it's kasha. It's no good. So that's the opposite of what we said before. So lo kasha, had be the chamer, had be the shikra. It depends. Wine, the wine one is good, is what we learned before. And for if it's made out of other alcohol, then it isn't good. In other words, also makes sense. Depending on what the ingredients are, the same medication can have totally opposite impact, right? Depending on the person, what this exact same thing. So that's what Gemara is saying. Made out of this material, it's excellent for this and terrible for that. And made of that material, it's the exact opposite. Okay. Tanya chada rak acharav lokeh. And so what does it mean, lokeh? They give him makor? That means he'll get sick if he spits afterwards. Tanya idach lo rak acharav lokeh. It's the exact opposite. Lokash had v'chamer had the b'shikra. Amarav, again, assuming today, I don't know, does the Quran say anything, what it is, like nowadays? Does he have any indication of, besides saying it's some wine-based drink or beer-based drink? Or some herbal thing. Does anybody know how to make it? It's like the chin, no, nobody knows how to make it. Okay. Amarav ashi, hashta demart lo rak arav lochel, mi meyimav nizrakim afilu v'neha. So that's very interesting. If you say he has to spit, if he doesn't spit, it'll be unhealthy. So the Gemara says, I must be, you know what, then I can do it even in front of a king. Now, remember, we learned that if you're in the middle of Shmon Esrei and a king says hello to you, what do you say? Nothing. You're not allowed to answer. The Gemara doesn't say anything. Mishnah doesn't say a word on Pikuach Nefesh. We assume if this people maybe the Mishnah just says Afilu Melech Shoel B'Shlomo, you don't answer him. So that's in the middle of Shmona Esrei. That's a ritual, but here it's dangerous. So here it's dangerous. So you can spit even in the presence of the king. That's a halacha in Yoredeya says that things that are dangerous you have to be more careful are than kosher. That's keeping kosher. That's a religious thing. It's not a health issue. Health, that's much more important than keeping kosher. That's what Rabbi Tendler famously said a number of years ago. It was quoted in the headlines of one of the Jewish newspapers when I was in YU, that smoking is worse than eating pork because smoking is dangerous. Dangerous in your day, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, sakanta is worse me isura, and in isura kasher is not giving, eating pork is forbidden, but it's not nothing, no health reason. Anyway, so that seems to be along the lines of what the Gemara is saying. I mean, you can spit it out even in front of the king. Okay, Amar Yishmael ben Elisha. We had Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, I think once before, if I'm not mistaken. He was the one who said what God davens every day. I think he was the one who said, right, that we should act nifnin mishur hadin, right? What is God davens every day? Vavitom al harko chivisim to beit tefilati, right? In my house of prayer.
So,
what? He was in Kohen Gadol, so it means he went into the Kodesh HaKodashim. In other words, somehow, the fact that he's the Kohen Gadol may be why the Gemara puts him as the person who knew more what God is doing. He's the Kohen Gadol. He has a greater access to God. I'm sure, I would assume it's connected. So the same thing. Three things. Shoshadvarim Sakhli Suriel Sarhapnim. Whoever Suriel is, some angel, I assume. Whatever, I don't know. Suriel the Sarhapnim, the interior minister, right? The Sarhapnim. He knows what's going up in the insides of heaven. Al Tito Chalutcha B'Shachrit Miyad HaShamash Batilbash. Don't take your clothes from the butler. Why not? Take it yourself. Doesn't explain why. Get dressed yourself. Don't, maybe we're afraid. They put something there. Whatever. Maybe just, you should do it. It's, Malbishamruim. I don't know. Misvavayotar mibishluch. Whatever. Al titchol yadcha mimi shelo natal yadav. Okay. Don't. Somebody's going to wash your hands. Remember, if he's a Kohen Gadol, so people are washing his hands and feet, right? Every day, somebody else, the Levim, are washing him. So you should make sure that the Levi who washes your feet, or your butler, whatever, you're at home, He has to also have washed his feet. Got to make, you know, like they have the signs in the washroom. It's an astounding sign in the restaurant. You know, all employees must wash their hands. You're not an employee, you don't have to wash your hands. But if you're an employee of the restaurant, you have to wash your hands. Okay. Baltachzir kos asparagus, that's what he's doing here. El alamisha natun lecha. You have to give the this cup, this asparagus cup, back to the person who gave it to you. Mifnei shetach pesit. Sam, you like this one?
No.
You don't like this one?
Well,
why not?
Okay, first of all, we're talking about angels again.
Tachshvit, by the way, are the demons, right? So it's a beat up the demons.
And secondly, there's they just draw this story out of nowhere. Okay,
right.
I wasn't there. But usually when they're quoting somebody, there's some attribution. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha must have lived about 500 years before they started talking about this. So,
well, he lived during the time of the Beit HaMikdash, for
right,
sure.
That's right.
Right.
So, how do they know what he said?
No, presumably here, he had a tradition that got passed down.
Usually, they said,
No, that was in there, and it was passed down. Okay, anyways, let's go. Bramarle, okay. Estagalita shamalache ha chavala metzafim lo la'adam. The bad angels, they're waiting there. They want to harm you. But me'ematai yavod li'adi achad mivarim halalu v'yilkot. When will somebody... he'll slip up on these things and we can snatch him. In other words, gotta do something silly, then the Malach HaMavah, or the angels, can take him. Okay. Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, Shlosha Dvarim Sach Li Malach HaMavah. This is already more than the Sar Shel Pnim. But the Malach HaMavah, Al Titol Chalcha Shacharit Miyad HaShamash, same idea. Val Tobash, Val Tol Yachah Mimi Shelo Natal Yadav, same idea. Val Tamod Livnei Nashim B'Shat Shechozrot Min HaMeit. When the women come back from the funeral, don't stand in their way. It probably means don't. They're very distressed, very upset, That's not the time to engage them in any form of a conversation. But here, the Malach HaMavet, it says, "Mipnei shani merakeid." In other words, I'm dancing. The Malach HaMavet is very happy. So you go there, maybe you'll be in danger. And I got my sword. Coming back to the funeral, that's not a good time. You want to stay far away from that because the Malach HaMavet is near there. And if you bump into the woman, what do you do? You gotta jump away 4 amot. 4 amot is always the area that you're in. So you're in a different property. Ika Nara, it's like the coronavirus. You can't get near it, right? You got to run away. No, I mean, you got to run away from the virus as far as you can. So they know what to do. They quarantined in the ship, just made it worse. So if there's a river, Ika Nara Libra, cross the river. Vika Dracha Achrina Lezoba. You go, well, other way, just get on the highway, get out of there. You don't want to be anywhere near where the Malach HaMavet is. Vika Guda, if there's a wall, Leku Achrei, go and get to the other side of Wai, Vimlo. If you can't go anywhere, you're stuck and you can't move. So leder ape, so face the wall. But Yomar quote like when you see like a bad dog. You quote a pasuk. But Yomar Shem el Hasatan, say Yigar Shem Becha, God, I take out just destroy the Satan until they go away. Okay, whatever that means. Let's Amar Rav Ozer, Amar Rav Rami Levin Benitin Tana Esad Reim Nemru Bekosh Shel Brachos. This is actually halacha lemaisa. 10 things, right? That whole thing was basically a tangent. That whole thing was a side point about eating and got the asparagus. So we got into 12 different things. Now we're back to our sugya. There are 10 things that are halacha in a kosh shel bracha. When you make kiddush or make havdalah or the 4 cups of wine, whatever it is, there are 4 things. Taun hadacha ushtifa. You got to wash it and wash it. Wash it from the inside and wash it from the outside. Chai. Got to be undiluted, malay. You have to fill the cup. In other words, first you put in the undiluted, then put the water. You have to fill it to the top, right? A lot of people are not always like careful because they don't want it to spill. But you're supposed to fill the kosh shel bracha. We know by havdalah should even spill over. By umale itur. What is itur? Later means to beautify. So we'll see in a second what that means. Ituf, to wrap yourself like people do in a talis. Not lo b'shtei yadav, you lift up the cup of wine with two hands. Then not no b'yamin, and then you put it in your right. You lift it up with two, but then you hold it in your right. Again, right is the strong. What do you do if you're a lefty? Interesting. Okay. Umagviyamin hakarka tefach. You're supposed to lift it up at least a hand breadth. Let's say about 4 inches. But no teinainapo, right? You ever notice that? So sometimes when they make kiddush, they stare at the cup. You look in the glass, in the cup of wine, when you're making kiddush. Rashi said that's just a distracting like technique. So you shouldn't be distracted. There's nothing. There's nothing special.
No, let's make sure there's no crumbs in it. That's why
they. Okay. Well. Okay. But yesh af mishagro b'matana lanshei beito. And some say you have to give it to the other people in your house. Rashi says lanshei beito means, of course, primarily his wife. That presumably means everybody in the house, but he's primarily his wife. Amar of Yochanan, ein lanu ein la arba. We only learn 4 things. You have to hadacha ushtifa, washing it, chai, undiluted, umaleful. Tana. So nothing more is going to explain. Hadacha mi bifnim, you have to rinse out the cup. This is, you can say, even hygienic. Ushtifa mi bachutz, and then you got to wash it on the outside too. You have to polish the silver, it looks nice on the outside, and you have to clean it from the inside. So it's clean. Amar Rav Yochanan, kolam avarcha kos malei. Anybody makes a bracha on a full cup, nochlim lo mitzara nechala b'li mitzrim. He'll get a tremendous reward. Get you into without boundaries. If you fill up your cup for God, God will fill up your cup what you want. That's apparently the connection. Shenamar umalei bracha Hashem v'darom yirasha. Rav Yosef Rav Chanin Omer zochev v'nochev kol shnei olamim. He'll inherit 2 worlds. Olam azev, olam apa. In other words, when you make kiddush on Shabbos, you get a double mitzvah. You're enjoying the physical wine; it makes you happy. You enjoy wine, and you're getting a spiritual mitzvah. So you get olam hazeh and olam haba. Itur Rav Yehuda Mer Matrei b'talmidim. So you have other students. Wow, shouldn't make kiddush for yourself. Do it with students who surround you. Rav Chista ma'ater le binatle. Rav Chista said, no, don't just have one cup of wine. Have You make one cup, but 6 bechers have other wine cups there. In other words, to show you how generous you are to share the wine. Amar Rav Chanana, Amar Rav Sheshet, Ubirchat Haaretz Ituf. When you get to the bracha of Al Haaretz V'Al Hamazon, you have to but generally like put your your talus on your head. Yeah, that's why a lot of people put their hat on. People who have hats put their hat on before they bench. Rapapa Ma'atef. If, assuming that's what it means, mate for the hat or a talis or maybe only a kippah, maybe viyati, ravasi, paris, sudra, al roshi, put a handkerchief, whatever, a talis on his head. Not lovish deyadav, amrav chanina bar papa mikra, su'u yedechem kodesh, take yedechem, plural, su'u yedechem kodesh, lift up your hands to God, ubarchu at Hashem, praise God with a full hand, both hands, I want to hold the praise as much as I can. And the first rabbis asked, what about using the left to hold the right? That's what some people do. They put their left hand in the right hand, they hold it. Or just in your right hand alone, or can your right hand hold you the balance? You don't want to hold it in only one hand. So Amar Rav Ashi, they didn't know. The Gemara says, "Ana navid l'chumra." Very interesting attitude. Like you have a latte. If they didn't know, we'll be machmer, which is very funny. Actually, it's very strange because this is probably a rabbinic law. So, in the halach is when you're in doubt in a rabbinic law, you're supposed to not be machmer, because we make it. But I assume here because what's the big deal? Like machmer, but the true matter, it's actually a strange expression. We don't know we be machmer. That's not true. That's not how halacha works. But that's what they said in this case. Umagbiya mean hakarka tefach. I know we spoke too much at the beginning. Lift it up one tefach. Amar Rav Chana bar Chanina mikra. Because Yeshua Asa, right? Some people, because you lift up the cup to God. Because Ubishem Hashem Nakra. Benote Neina Bo, you look at the cup while you're making the bracha. That's what he said. So if you look around the room, you're distracted. You look at the cup, you're focused. So whenever you make a bracha, so it's a way of focusing you when you make the bracha. Umashagro Lanshe Beito Bimatana. And why do you give it to your wife, to the family? They'll be blessed. Drinking a kosher bracha means we all be blessed. Okay, so now Gemara tells a wild story. Ulo ikla levei Rav Nachman. Ula went to Rav Nachman's house. Karech Rifta, they, you know, broke bread. They ate a meal. Baruch Birchat Mizona. So they benched with the cup of wine. That's what you're supposed to do. We don't do that so much anymore, but that's what you really are supposed to do. Yaiv Leikas and the Birchat El Rav Nachman. So he gave the cup of wine. Ula gave the cup of wine to Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, "Give it to my wife." L'shader mar kasa the birchat liyalta. He had a famous wife, Rav Nachman's wife, Yalta. Amar le hachi amar Rav Yochanan. So he wasn't impressed. The wife, what is a woman teach stuff? Yomi, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. We're males, we don't go for the woman. So amar le hachi amar Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan says. Ein pribitna shalisha mi perech alim pribitna shalish. You know, any blessing the woman has, the pribitna, it literally means her child, we've got 1 minute, is only because of the man. Shenemar Baruch pribitnecha, I'll bless your stomach, so to speak. Pribitna lo nemar, it doesn't say her stomach, ela pribitnecha, yours, the man's. So that wasn't so nice. Yalta wasn't so impressed with this comment. Said, give it to the wife, give it to the wife. What does the wife have to do with anything? Everything good in this world is only because of the men. Tanya Nami Hachi. We learned, Rav Natan, Rami Nain Shem, Prebeet Nat Shalisha Miprach. How do you know any blessing of the woman is only because of her husband? Rami Prebeet No Shalisha, Nemar, Berk, Prebeet Nacha, Prebeet Nalo, Nemar, Prebeet Nacha. So Ada Hachi. So Yalta heard this. Shama Yalta. She didn't like this. Kama Bezahira, she got up in anger. No, we'll just finish the story. We'll stop. Baltala Bechamer, she went to, this is, wealthy house. They went to the wine factory. She broke 400 barrels of wine in anger for such a comment. And Rav Nachman, can we continue after the Marv for 5 minutes? We'll continue after Marv just to finish the story. But they're pretty pretty cool story. So the eighth pair of a bracha, which, by the way, this Mishnah in Mishnayos is eight Mishnayos, and in the Gemara, it's all put as one Mishnah. It's very interesting. Every once in a while, that happens. The Mishnah, and the Mishnah, the Gemara, the way it's broken up, occasionally you have even a different parak, let's say in Sanhedrin. The order of the prakim, the 10th and 11th, you know, prakim are switched. You have that in a few places, that in the Gemara, the order of the prakim is one way, in the Mishnah, the order of the prakim is a different way. That's for another discussion. Anyway, so the Mishnah says like this. It all talks about eating meals, brachot. The seventh parak is on Birchat HaMazon, that's the main theme. The eighth parak talks about how to eat a meal. What's the proper halachic etiquette at eating a meal? So the Mishnah says as follows. So we're going to have eight arguments between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, how to eat a meal. Beit Shammai, the first one is quite famous. You can look, those who have the Gemara is going to look at the Malach on the Beit. Beit Shammai says, first you make Mekadesh HaShabbat on Friday night. You make that bracha first, and only afterwards you make we're not going to go into any of the reasons. That's, you have to come daf yomishir. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. But in the Mishnah, you do the bracha mekadesh hashabbat and then borekri hagafen. Beit Hillel omri mevarech al yayin, first borekri hagafen, v'acharkak mevarech al yom. What do we do? And then you make the bracha mekadesh hashabbat. Beit Shammai omri noflim liyadayim, v'acharkak moski metukos. Beit Shammai says the first thing you do when you're about to eat a meal, fancy meal, you wash your hands. We learned in the Gemara that very often they would serve wine before the meal. So Beit Shammai, it says, can be on a Wednesday night. So Beit Shammai says, you have to wash your hands before they serve the wine. And Beit Hillel says, no. Beit Hillel says, moski metakos, you drink the wine. You only wash when you're going to sit down to eat the meal, to eat the bread. Beit Shammai omrim, mekanech ma yadav b'mapal, meniach al ha-shulchan. When your hands are wet, you have to dry the hands. So you dry them with a towel. And you leave the towel on the table. That serves as your napkin throughout the whole meal. You leave it on the table. Beit Hillel Rim, no, don't leave it on the table. I'll catch it. Leave it on the chair next to you. That has to do with Tumah V'Tahara. We'll come back to Yomi and you'll find out why. Beit Shammai Rim, mechabdim et habayit v'achar kach noflim liyadayim. Now we're talking about mayim achroni. That, you know, people today are, some halachas have no mazel. So one halacha with no mazel is mayim achroni. I don't know why. It's also, you ever notice? If once in a blue moon, when they do mayim achronim, so they pass it around the table. You ever read the house? When the women get it, they pass it around. You ever notice that none of the women do mayim achronim? What's that based on? Amaratzis. That's what it's based on. Absolutely, I'm not aware. Somebody can tell me. It's just people are amaratzim, so they don't know. Because men are, we don't do mayim achronim. I don't know. Some only men do mayim achronim. Men don't do it either. And it's Very strange, but in the time of the real halacha, the way you're supposed to eat a meal, you do a maim achronim after every meal. Just like you do maim rishon. Nobody would, God forbid, eat bread without washing. That would you never do. You're not supposed to bench without washing. Okay, Mr. Leader. So anyway, so Beit Shammai says, first you clean up. You get the broom out. Got to clean. Remember, they ate on dirt floors often. Yeah, or fat. You have to clean up, and then you wash. Beit says, no. First you wash your hands, and then you clean up the house. Interesting. Beit Shammai Arim now were basically a person only has one cup of wine. Often wine was very expensive for people, and it's Saturday night, and you have to bench for Shalashudas on wine, and then you have to wine for Havdalah. So what are you going to do? So Beit Shammai says, you only have one cup. Neru mazon, you know, psamim Havdalah. You make borei morei ha'esh, al hamazon, birchat hamazon, for Shalashudas, b'samim, borei b'nei psamim, and then Havdalah, hamavdil b'kodesh kol b'nei l'chosher. Beit Hillel says, no, ner, borei morei ha'esh first, psamim, yeah, and then you bench. Then you bench, and then you say Havdalah. Beit Shammai Arim Shabara Ma'or Ha'esh. The bracha should be God who created the light of fire. And Beit Hillel puts it in the present tense, Borei Moreish. Aim of Archim Lo, and there will all of Samim Shogoyim. Can't make a bracha on the candle or the spices of non-Jews. Below on there, will all of Samim Shomaitim. That what you use in a funeral home. So the body won't smell, whatever. The lights they put on or the smell, can't use those. Below on there, about some shell of avodah zarah, or anything used in for avodah zarah like practices. Aim of archim on there, al shiot tolor. You're not allowed to make the borei minei ha'esh until you get benefit from the light. That's the first commandment everybody has to check their fingernails, you know, so you get benefit from the light. Mishachal v'shachach below beirach. The guy ate a meal and he forgot to bench. So Beit Shammai says you got to go back. The guy's traveled in the car to work. Got to schlep home in rush hour. Go home, he didn't bench after breakfast. Got to go home. Beit Shammai Yachzor Lekom Mivarech. Beit Hillel says, Yivarech Lemakom Shenizkar. You bench here. Okay, forgot, too bad. Not the end of the world. Balehem Miyayin Lachar HaMazon. Beit Shammai Lo Tokos. They have wine comes at the end of the meal. Beit Shammai Yivarech Lekom Mivarech. And again, you want to make the cup of wine, but you have to use the cup for benching. So Beit Shammai says, Mivarech Lekom. First you make the bracha on the wine, and then you make the bracha. You drink the wine first, and then you do Birchat HaMazon. And Beit Hillel says, no, you do Birchat HaMazon, and then you make the bracha on the wine. Onim amar amen achar Yisrael HaMavarach. You answer amen when a Yisrael makes a bracha, even if you only heard the last few words, the Borei Pri HaGaf, and you didn't hear the bracha. V'yononim amar achar HaKuti HaMavarach Ad Sheyishma Kol HaBracha. You don't answer amen. The Kuti was, he's had this, we've been talking about it a little bit, unclear status on their Jewish status. You don't exactly know. They accepted some mitzvot, not other mitzvot. You don't know who they're giving a blessing to. You got to hear the whole bracha. And then if you hear the whole bracha, you can answer amen to the bracha of a Kuti. Okay. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashim, Ratzav Kodesh Baruch, Lizach, Lizjel, people, give them Torah mitzvot, Shenemar, Analecha Beis, Tumantzikoy, Yagdil, Torah, Yadir. Amen. So Yalta, okay. Hashem should have an aliyah, long life, okay. Okay, Yalta got angry. You know, all the blessings for women come only because of men. She didn't like that. So she broke 400 barrels of wine. She went in, she destroyed the whole wine cellar. Of course, 400 is always the 400 years of exile. 400 is it's probably, I don't know if it's the story is literal again, but it's interesting. He broke 400 bottles barrels of wine. So Amar Le Rav Nachman, the second white line on Nun Aleph Amud Beit. Amar Le Rav Nachman Nishader Le Mar Kasa Achrina. So let's send her another cup. She got a drink from the Kosho Bracha of the wine. So Shalach Le. That's like wild, you know. After 400 cups of wine, okay. Well, now she didn't get the drink from the cup of wine. Got to send her a cup of wine. Go high nagva de birchata he shachaleim. Okay, so what happens? Hold on. So they sent her, and then she made a comment. She said shachale mimahadore mim Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. No. I'm sorry. He didn't want to send it. He said, anything that came from the barrel, let her drink from the barrel of wine she broke. I don't have to send her more cups of wine. That's also kosher bracha. Let her drink from that. So she sent back, mimahadure mile, umi mismarto tokame. Mimahadure mile. Ula would go back and forth from Babel. He's a wanderer. He's like a wandering Jew. He doesn't have a permanent place. From this wandering Jew, Mile, he doesn't say anything meaningless. He just says all stupid words. Umi mesarte kalme, and from his smartut, his clothing, kalme comes lice. In other words, she basically told Ula to go take a hike and go jump in the lake. You know, it's a wild story. Okay, we have to, we can think what the meaning, but it's a very interesting, interesting story. Yalta gets the last word in the story. Welcome, just for 1 minute, you've got early Daf Yomi today. Okay, Amar Rav Asi, Ein Masichim Ala Koshel Bracha. You cannot talk when you make the Koshel Bracha. Amar Rav Asi, Ein Mevarchim Ala Koshel Poranut. Don't make a bracha on a negative cup. Sam, you love this one. My Koshel Poranut, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Koshenu. You know, in Pesachim, there's a whole discussion on Zugot. You can't drink 2 cups of wine, 4 cups of wine. That's by the 4 cups of wine. That's where the discussion comes up. Can't do things in pairs. Demons don't like pairs. So a kosher puranot is the 2nd cup of wine. Don't you have 1 cup of wine or 3 cups of wine, but not 2 cups of wine. So don't make a bracha on the 2nd cup of wine. Whatever that means, hurry to find a cup. You'll take the demons later. Tanya nach nami haki hashotek yiflayim. If you drink double, 2 cups of wine, lo yivarach. We're at the third last time before the end of the parak. Mishum shenemar, hichon likrat Yisrael elo hecha. Prepare with good things for God. Hailom mitukan. This cup of wine, this 2nd cup of wine, only bad things will come from it. Don't ask me what that means. I don't have a clue. The Gemara had believed, I don't know, somehow doing things impaired. Is there such an idea? Okay, no, but no, honestly, what is there anything like if you eat 2 of it, it's bad for you, and 3 of it, it's good for you? I don't know what it means. Okay, but the Rambam says we don't follow this Gemara. Amar Rav Avahu Amar Leibu Matniti Tana Ha'ochal U'Mahalech. This is interesting. A guy is eating while he walks. Mevarach Mu'umad. So then he can say Berachat Hamazon when he's standing. U'Keshu Ochel Mu'umad. If he eats when he's standing, not walking, Mevarach Mi'Yushab. Then he has to do Birchat Hamazon sitting. Or you got to go, one, it's considered easier to concentrate, the most easy to when you're sitting. A little bit harder when you're standing, a little bit harder when you're walking. So if you eat when you're walking, you have to go one level up. So you have to stand for Birchat Hamazon. If you eat when you stand, you have to do Birchat Hamazon when you sit. And if you sit when you eat, U'miyushav, kishu, mivarach miyushav, kishu meisiv ochel, yoshev umivarach. Yeah. He's Yosheva Mubarak, he sits down and he bench. I don't know that difference of Yosheva, but the Hilchata Bakulu Yosheva Mubarak all the time. Even if you walk and even if you eat standing, you're always supposed to sit for Berachat Hamazon. That is the halacha. Supposed to sit. It's very interesting. You have to, in other words, person wants to stand for Shema, can stand. We learned Belachta Baderach, any way you want to walk. You want to stand for Pesukei Dezimra? Gesunt Eit, you're allowed to stand. You can sit, but you're allowed to stand. Dafka is sitting, because eating is a sitting activity. So when you bench, you have to sit. Okay. Hadran alach, shlosh achlu. Please God, maybe in sooner than the next 7.5 years, we can come back to the 7th parak. Brachot, and please God, tomorrow we'll pick up from after the Mishnah. We already learned the Mishnah.